You're listening to The Running Ground with Joseph D. Welcome back, and thanks again for tuning in. Hope everyone is staying healthy, staying safe, and grinding. You know, whatever dream it is you're chasing, whatever goal it is you're pursuing, just keep grinding. And remember, mindset is everything. The Chevron Houston Marathon came and went over the weekend, and man, what a great event that was. Definitely one that I'm going to do every year, whether it's the half or the full marathon, but I still got some unfinished business with that marathon course, so I'll be back for 26.2. But the weather was amazing. It was a cool 40 degrees to start with a cold front moving in. I think the wind chill made it somewhere around like 37, 38 degrees, but it had all the makings of a great race. Fortunately, my luck, I get hit with some type of sinus infection early in the week, and actually I thought it was turning into a cold Tuesday night, maybe Wednesday morning. Had all that funky colored snot when I blew my nose and coughing like crazy, but you know, it never really did turn into a full-on cold, but it was for sure like a sinus infection, because I had to dig deep to get some of those coughs out, and man, I was living on Kleenexes and, you know, all the drugs to try to drain myself of all this congestion. You know, and I think I made myself believe I was feeling better on Friday just from the excitement of the race weekend. From the expo to the morning of, I think the adrenaline just made me feel like I was good. But when I woke up that morning of the race, my voice was hoarse and I was just stuffed up again. I was going to hope for the best and just kind of see what I could manage. But man, I was like, oh, are you kidding me? And, you know, right from the get-go, my nose just gunked up. Maybe it was just like the cold air and, you know, already being stuffed up. But I was breathing through my mouth the entire 26.2 miles and it just wasn't going to be a fun race having to do that, especially when you're trying to control your breathing, drinking hydration, taking fuel, and coughing all through one, you know, opening it in your body and just all through the mouth. So, but by mile eight, I could tell that it was just not going to be my day. So I was like, you know what, I'm just going to hold my pace until I couldn't, and then back off whenever I needed to gather my breath. But other than that, I was still able to finish it. And, you know, it was the first time that Mount West Park and miles 17 through 19 and Allen Parkway just didn't seem so daunting like in years past. I just wish I could have pushed the way that I wanted to, but you know, as the saying goes, a marathon owes you nothing. It doesn't matter, it doesn't care how much work you put in, it doesn't matter what you've done, what you're capable of. If it ain't your day, it ain't your day. So on to the next one. But you know, overall I'm happy that I was still able to finish with like a 340 and some change, and more than happy to see all my friends crush it out there. You know, but like I said, it's on to the next one, and I'll definitely be back next year, God willing. As always, if you like the content, please share us with your friends and follow us on Instagram at the.grind.effect. For brand apparel and other designs, you can go to our website at thegrindeffect.net. And if you could all do me a favor and rate the podcast and write a quick review, it just helps me with whatever algorithm these platforms use and helps me in the show out. But thank you to all the followers and subscribers. Your support means a lot. And, you know, hopefully I'll just keep putting these episodes out. Maybe not as frequently as I was before, but every so often. Today we chat with Houston local Jin Jung of the Houston Harriers. He's an anesthesiologist by day and a running beast otherwise. You know, he and I met at the Vintage Park Half Marathon back in 2021, I believe, when we were both running the 5K event. I placed second in my age group and he was first. And I remember walking up to him and just kind of asking like, hey man, just what was your time? Cause I wanted to know how far apart we were in terms of like, you know, me possibly scratching first place, itching to get there. And when I found out he threw down a sub 20 minute 5K, I was like, yeah, wasn't even close. I think I had like a 21:35, but you know, since that encounter, we've become friends on Instagram, and man, he's like one of my biggest supporters and cheerleaders in the running community. And you know, we kind of have very similar times, and you know, I just kind of see what he throws down and definitely leaves me inspired to try to, you know, do what he's doing and just completely crushing it out there. And you know, he's definitely become a really good friend, even though we've only seen each other face to face maybe 3-4 times since 2021. And, you know, typically when I have guests on this podcast, I'll share their run journey from the start to where they are now, you know, just kind of talk about the history of their run their running journey. But this episode is unique in that it just ended up being both of us chatting about running in the last year and kind of just shooting the breeze, not really delving into the origins of his running, or, we kind of just talk about where he's been in the last 2 years and where I've been in the last 2 years and what he's achieved and what he has planned next. Overall, Jen is just definitely one of the good guys out there. And if you haven't connected with him, he's for sure someone you want in your corner supporting you. So sit back and let's run with Jen Jung.
Welcome to The Running Grind, a podcast dedicated to finding the story behind your journey, presented by The Grind Effect. It's a lifestyle, it's a state of mind, it's a reminder that success, your success, doesn't always come easy. And here's your host, Joseph D.
Remember the Houston half for this year or last year? Yeah, that was brutal. My time was like 1:45.
So, over that for the half, yeah.
Yeah, that was a brutal test. Just a terrible race. I definitely walked some of it. That was hard. And
did that change your confidence at all for this Chevron race?
I think that it taught me that I definitely should not go out too fast when it's a hot day. I don't think I shook my confidence that much though, because it's a hot day and it's really hard to tell what kind of fitness you really are when it's
that's why I felt brutal. Chevron last year, I was like, oh, that was like it was just hot and I went out too hot. So then in Wisconsin, I went out at the paces that I intentionally meant to do at Chevron last year, and I quickly realized I think I'm giving myself way too much credit for how fast I think I am. So that's why I think I burnt out at 17 in Wisconsin. And so this one, I came in with a plan, man. I felt like I was ready to execute it and do it, but man, I just got sick the week of, and
it still
kind of bums me out.
Yeah, I was so fortunate that I was not sick, and I really didn't have any problems training for this race. No big injury thing. The thing with being 40, and I'm sure you can relate to this, is that every morning you wake up, you're sore somewhere, and you're like, is this for a marathon training or is this just because I'm 40?
Is it just his life?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Or did I lie on the couch and take a nap the wrong way? And then something is sore. So, there'd be some of that. And then, the usual marathon soreness, which is really sometimes hard to tell if it's is an injury coming along or is it normal soreness from training?
Luckily this year I haven't had really any bad injuries or even just major aches other than just being tired legs. So I felt really lucky. I still can't breathe properly because I'm still stuffed up even now. Running, I got recongested again.
Yeah. Did you do any decongestants and stuff beforehand?
I did everything. I did the rinses. I even called my doctor and got an antibiotic, even though I think it was viral. I was like, just give me something. Just to make me believe that I was feeling, but I think I made myself believe that I was feeling better going into it. But even Sunday morning, I woke up and I just felt I felt like I just got congested back up. Because I even told my wife, I was like, man, I feel like I got worse. And even when I finished the race, some of my runners that I started off with, they were like, man, I heard you coughing and sniffling, and I looked at you and you just didn't look good. They were like, I didn't want to tell you that though, because I didn't want to shake your confidence. And I was like, no, I mean, I felt it, but I was just trying to go out and, do the best I could.
Yeah. Did you at any point want to DNF and then get better and use that training in a future marathon?
I wanted to finish just because I'm going to finish this. It's just a matter of, is it going to be 4 hours or 4.5?
Yeah.
But I was like, I'm just going to snot rocket every chance I get and cough it up if I need to, pull over and cough. And I was able to just kind of keep a steady pace all the way to the end. I mean, I had to slow it down just because I couldn't breathe.
Yeah. Did you get sick? Like, how many days before the race did you get sick, by the way?
I felt it come in on Monday, and then Tuesday evening, I was like, oh shoot, is this turning into a cold? And so, like, Wednesday and Thursday, that was probably like the worst of it because I was like, it was like the green, yellowish stuff, you're
Yeah.
like, shooting out. Friday, I think the adrenaline of like race weekend, because going at the expo, I'm like, man, I feel great. I feel so good. But I think I was just kidding myself, because even like those nights, I'm still like coughing, but I just kind of ignored it and felt like, that's okay. It'll be good.
Did any point at a race or like right before it, did you think of like this could be your like Michael Jordan flu game where you just like
Hell
are
yeah.
feeling terrible, but
Yeah.
then you
I was like, oh yeah,
like drop a
I'm
PR?
gonna prove myself wrong. Like, I'm sick, I'm gonna do this, I'm still gonna rock this thing. And then reality set in like right around, I don't know, it was like 8, and I could just see my heart rate just shooting up, and I, it's cold, so it's already hard to breathe a little bit, and then you're just breathing through your mouth the whole time because I can't even like try to calm my breathing down through my nose. It's just, it sucked.
Were you like coughing the entire race also, or was it mainly just congestion?
There were some coughs. It wasn't like the whole entire way. I think at every single moment of that race, I just kept like, wiping my nose. Like, I looked down at my sleeve, and it's just gunked up with stuff. And then, I'm kind of like emptying out the nose whenever I can, and it lands on my face. I mean, yeah.
I remember like the first 5K, there was a guy like handing out tissues, but then there was probably more than one guy handing out tissues. You
Oh
just
yeah,
grab
every
all
time
the
I took,
tissues on the course.
yeah, I was grabbing every single one. I was like,
Yeah.
thank you, thank you. But
Yeah. No, that's tough. I can't imagine. You are a stronger person than I am because running sick is like it's hard.
yeah, oh, for sure. There was one point where I was running and I felt like I got like a chill, like one of those like body chills, and I was like, oh geez. That's how we have
Yeah.
like really getting sick. And so that's when I really kind of backed off the pace,
Yeah.
and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna go to the bathroom. And
I
then we
mean,
just,
you were like really consistent this training block also since like, did you start training this summer or like was it even earlier than that?
oh shoot,
You're
man.
kind of like marathon training.
No, I think I start yeah I think I started in I think I knew I was doing that October marathon like by May. So May, I was like, all right, let's start some training blocks. So by May, I was already kind of building up my miles. I need to start incorporating more speed work. That's what I know I need to start doing that.
Do you
But
do speed work when do
was that?
you do speed do you do speed work when you're not training for a marathon?
No.
Okay. And I'm just wondering. I mean, I've seen a lot of people do, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I think it's whatever makes you feel good and healthy, all of that, rather than like being a faster runner a lot of the times, because I think too much speed work, you can either get injured, obviously. Or it just burns you out. So
Burns you out for sure.
yeah,
I signed up for that
there's
Texas 10 series this year, doing the 5 miler, and I use those strictly for like speed work to keep me honest with the speed work. Because I was like, all right, if I do these things, I'm for sure have to do some tempo work.
Yeah, and you're
So
like podiuming them at a fairly good clip, by the way. You're dominating the 40 to 45 age
I mean, that
group, which
just
I am a part of
it's
now.
it's probably like, I'm probably getting one out of one. First place out
Wait,
of one 40-year-old.
before we talk about Chevron, can we talk about like the first time I re distinctly remember meeting you?
Absolutely. I was gonna tell everybody, like, all right, so
Yeah.
I
So
met Jen back at like Vintage Park, like the 5K back in 2022, I believe. Maybe,
No, it was
yeah,
2021. It was
2021,
that first
yeah.
one. Yeah. So what I remember, I mean, I had no idea you were such a big deal, by the way. I mean,
No,
I
I
don't know
mean,
how how
I don't know
much
if
of
I'm
a big
still a
deal you
big
were
deal.
back then. So my recollection of that race was that it was hot. It was May in 2021, right? So it
Yeah.
was hot. I signed up for that race because I was like I wanted to work on some short mileage stuff, and this was like after I was back from a stress fracture that I got during the COVID year from just like running too much. So, I show up to this race. I have like zero expectations. I think I was trying to go sub 20 that day, and I don't even know why I had the confidence to do that. So I think I like trained maybe like a month for that, and then I ran it. I think my time was like 1940 something,
I mean, you got it, because
and
I remember.
I also remember my watch telling me that it was only 3 miles, which makes me wonder if I actually ran a sub 20 that day. Because I don't know, do you think that course is short?
I don't know. They've changed it now, so and every time I clock it, it's like 3.08.
Okay, yeah. So then I was like, great. I think that was like the first or second time I was on the podium. I'm definitely like first age group, and then like I think you were like second or third, and I don't
I
remember
think I was
what
second.
it was. And then I think you asked me what time I had, and then I told you, and then you're like said something like, "Oh yeah, no, I was way off," or something like, I don't remember what you ran that day,
No,
but.
I wanted to see. So my recollection was like, I knew you got first, and I was like, I wonder how, like how much, like by first he got, because I had like a 21, I want to say 35, and so when I walk up to you and I'm like, hey man, what was your time? And you're like 19. 40 something. I was like, yeah, no, I would have never had
Yeah.
that.
Yeah.
No,
I remember
nowhere in the realm of that.
I remember that race because like the first mile, I was like sort of like in the first like 20 runners, I guess. And then one of the Houston Harriers, Oscar, who won Masters or was like in top three, he's like a beast of a runner. He just like flies by me, and then I was like, Oscar, I'll catch up with you later. And then he just gives me a big smile, and I just like laugh, and then he just like just takes off.
Yeah.
And then after that, I was like just telling myself not to go out too fast on a 5K because that's what everyone does. And
Yeah.
then it still felt like it was like so hard of a race.
I told my
And
wife,
yeah.
I was like, man, this guy who got first, I was like, I wanted to see how close we were. And I was like, it wasn't even close, but this guy ran a sub 20. I was like, I can't even like fathom that. And I was like, man, that
Then
I want to try to shoot for that.
Yeah, didn't you get that kind of like a year later or something, by the way? Or
Oh,
was it like
I just
this
got it
year?
back in April.
That's amazing.
They got a
It's hard.
1948. But
Yeah.
from that meeting, I think you had followed me on Instagram, and man, like I don't know, I tell my wife this, but I was like, man, this guy's like one of my biggest cheerleaders, and I've literally only met him in person like two times, two, three times.
I'm like one of the biggest Joseph D fans, by the way. I mean, I tell you that all the time, and I want you to like give like long race recaps on your like marathons, good or bad, like
Yeah,
the Wisconsin one that you did.
I'm not really a race recap type of guy. I don't know. I always feel like no one wants to hear my story.
Okay, I mean, at least I do. And you know
Yeah.
what might be like a weird like a indulgence that I have, like a. What is like people that post recaps that are long, like I think Emma Bates, the professional runner, she does like these long Instagram recaps, and then just like reading it, and I can relate to obviously not the pace, but like a lot of the logistical things that go on and like the thoughts that she would have. And I've seen YouTube videos of people talking about their races, and I love that stuff. Like
Yeah.
I just can't get enough. And
Maybe one
especially
day.
like, yeah, especially like I feel like me and you are like around the same level, and I can like totally like relate to like what you're feeling on your races.
I wish
I
we were
mean
at the same level. I mean,
we're the
you're.
same we're around the same age, and
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
yeah,
we're.
it's like we have like full-time jobs and managing that and like being
Kids
a
and family
Yeah,
and.
being a parent, like having like a family to take care of, like I can relate to all of that. So
Well,
like
which
I
is
feel
the
like
reason
you
why
and
I
I are
wanted
about the
to
same.
find out about your training this past cycle, because I'm like, man, you obviously have a lot going on. But I was like, man, he's made huge strides, and like I want that.
I mean, I think it just comes down to consistency,
Yeah.
which I was like very fortunate to. And I just like find time to like start training. And unfortunately for me, it's like before work. So I would have to like wake up at 4:30 at the latest, or 4:20, I guess. Or sometimes at 4 o'clock to do like longer, like hour and a half workouts.
Yeah.
And
And
that's
you're
like really the only time I
outside
could do it.
to run these, right?
I'm sorry?
You're running outside to do these.
Yeah, I mean, thankfully the weather was perfect for training for Houston this year, because every Tuesday, which is like my workout day, was like the weather was perfect.
Do
I
you
can't say
live
the same.
near Memorial?
Yeah, I live in that area, so it's
So it's just
and
an easy
then
drive.
and they also built that new track, which I
Oh,
love.
yeah.
Like to I run on there to know, like, you know, if I need to run a mile at like, let's say like 6:45 or 7 or something, I line up like on the correct marker, and then I just go at it, and then I stop my watch, and then I just know what time I ran exactly.
Yeah.
And then just based on that, like I get develop the sense of like what pace should feel like from just running on that track. But also like there's like dirt paths on there, you know, in Memorial Park. That, you know, I've run a lot in. So it's really like ideal place to live in Houston.
For
Now, I
sure.
used to live in like the Montrose area, which was good too, because there was the other park, the Buffalo Bayou, which I used to run a lot, which has some rolling hills. And I always felt like that was like beneficial for me in terms of like getting stronger on the hills.
Yeah. You know, I got to do 85% of my runs on a treadmill just because my wife works early in the morning and I'm on kid duty and they're obviously still small. So I got to be like close enough to be able to hear them and then, you know, quick shower, get them ready for school and out the door. So I'm doing like all my stuff on like on the treadmill. So that part I got to figure out. I got to talk to my whoever coaches me, like get me better on a treadmill, because really weekends is like the only time I can really, you know, run outside, because I get off of work it's, you know, 5:30, I get home at 6 and I really want to like eat dinner with the family and spend some time with them, and then it's like send the kids to bed. So I only get like an hour and a half, 2 hours to really just kind of be with the kids, and then I go to sleep and then wake up early to get on the treadmill again and just kind of rinse and repeat.
I think you can do most of your training on a treadmill. I mean, people do it all the time.
Yeah.
And I think what's good about the treadmill is that when you do your workouts, you can punch in the pace and you won't go too fast or too slow, I guess.
Yeah. So.
And in the summer, I think it comes in handy. Like running in the summer here is like nobody likes it. Like it's hard.
See, I feel like that's where you build up your lungs, though. That's where you build up your heart rate and just kind of stressing it out a little bit in the heat.
Yeah, maybe, but I don't know if that's just us like rationalizing it,
Yeah, I don't know.
because
You're the anesthesiologist, man. You tell me.
I don't think that's something that we really talk about in anesthesia school.
Yeah.
Or you
Well,
just like how much sweating.
let's swing it back to this past year, because like I said, I've seen like a huge jump in your improvement from just even like Chevron. Like, what'd you do at Chevron last year?
So I volunteered last year because I was still sort of coming back from injury. So I wasn't running that much. So I was handing out waters at is that mile 3 or so,
Okay.
around 5K, like where West Gray is.
Yeah.
So I didn't run last year. I
Is that
ran the
hard? Is that
half
hard to
2 years
like
ago.
sit there and watch everybody run?
No, because it was hot, remember?
Oh yeah, that's true. You're
So I
like,
was like, I felt so bad. I mean, it was early in the race and I don't feel like anybody was falling apart yet.
yeah.
But it was actually a lot of fun. I mean, we like turned it into a game. So it was like a race within the race, where like how much Gatorades I can hand out. And I was the first
Yeah.
Gatorade table. So you can imagine like a horde of people, kind of like a zombie movie
Oh
where you just
yeah.
see like zombies running towards you, like kind of thing, and you're just like
Especially at
handing
mile
out.
three, because that's still early enough where, you know, the crowds are still just jam-packed around those tables.
Exactly. So I was just like, I think at some point I was like, just like kept on like throwing them at people, and they're like just constantly coming at me. But it was a lot of fun because I saw a lot of my friends that I run with, and just encouraging them. and saying hi to everybody and whatever. So it was a good experience. It's definitely one of the volunteer experiences that I highly recommend. And the commitment wasn't that bad. It was only like 3 or 4 hours or something like that. It
Now, are you responsible to
wasn't too
get
much.
yourself to that place, or are there like buses that
I
bring you
lived
out there?
really cl I lived really close. This was when I was living in Montrose, so I
Gotcha.
think it was like maybe like a 5 minute walk from where I was.
Nice.
So yeah, but you're responsible to get to the water stops wherever they are. Now, this year I volunteered scanning people's QR codes and checking their IDs at the
This year?
convention center. Yeah, this year.
Wait, you work the convention center? Like you're on
Yeah,
speed all day?
on Friday morning from like when it opened, I think it opened at like
10.
9, 10, yeah, to like 2. I was the guy scanning people's QR
Like,
codes.
yeah, like right at the beginning, right? Like when you, and
Yeah.
there weren't chairs.
There are chairs.
There were chairs. Man,
Yeah.
so you work the convention and then you still
Yeah. The
freaking
only thing is
kill
like
this
it goes
marathon.
by quick, but then I was carbo loading. So what I did was I drank a lot of like Coke that day, I remember, because it was
Yeah.
like what could I get that has a lot of sugar in it, but then like easily accessible. And then I went to a vending machine and then I grabbed some Coke, which has like 70 or 80 grams of like carbs.
Yeah.
So then I was
And
just
like
like,
30 grams of sugar.
yeah, exactly. It's just like, this is perfect. This is what I need. And like my stomach can handle Coke pretty well.
Were you worried at all being on, like just being on your feet that day?
I mean, it's Friday, so I figured like
You have Saturday
Saturday.
to
Actually,
recover.
yeah, actually, I feel like I needed to stand more because like I was sitting there for a couple of hours and then like I felt like my legs were getting a little tired. Or
Yeah.
like restless, rather. Not tired isn't the word. But yeah, that was a lot of fun too, because like there's two people per table. And then the guy next to me, he was like ultra competitive. He wanted to like beat me by how many people he
You can
can
scan
scan
in.
in. Yeah, because it told us their stats. But I think I got him by like 50 people, by the way. So
Nice. So what
wherever.
was your current PR heading into, like right before tunnel?
Tunnel was my PR, but for
What was your PR
marathon,
before that? Yeah.
it was 2020 Houston Marathon. And I ran that, I think it was like 320 something, 325 or so.
Jeez.
Oh, 325.10. Yeah, that was kind of interesting. That was like what I feel like was like my first marathon that I trained like seriously for, if that makes sense. And in which I wasn't injured and like everything went well. And I was following the book Advanced Marathoning by Peter Fitzinger, I think is the guy's name. So I like came across this book that I like saw people mentioning on the internet, and then I like kind of read it and I was like, okay, I think I could do most of this training. It was like 55 miles a week at most.
Really?
And what I think the thing with that one is that there was a lot of like marathon pace stuff, but then there's also like threshold pace stuff. And then I think his thing was like he did like threshold pace workout, and then the day afterwards you would go out for like a 12-mile run, recovery run or something. So I remember like that was like hard, like obviously my legs didn't feel good right after a workout like that. But yeah, overall, yeah, that was a good race. I mean, I had the confidence to run that fast because 2 weeks before or 3 weeks before the race, I ran a 10K and like 41 something. So then I figured like I put in a calculator and be like, well, I should be able to run like 320 something, I think. And then that was a perfect weather day, from what I recall. And then
Yeah.
like the race went really well. I think I also had better tactics, like race strategy that day than I did this time around, because I think I posited a split by less by like 2 minutes, which I think was pretty even if you consider that the second half is harder with hills and whatever.
Yeah. I think I got to learn how to push my legs. I mean, I didn't get to test it out for this marathon, but just my previous ones. Like I would feel tired at 20, 21, and I don't know, I can't get past that mental block of me not just wanting to stop and walk it out a little bit. But yeah. You know, when I do stop, that's when the muscles really like tighten up. So I got to just learn how to like push through it.
Yeah. I mean, I get a sense when my legs are going to cramp and lock up. And it like happened in Tunnels Cutter early. I felt like I was going to cramp like at mile 15 or something.
Mm-hmm.
So then I like dialed the pace back kind of early because like I think on that day in that race course, at least, that was what I had. So I think I kind of have a better sense of like what my body is doing, trying to do.
Yeah. Did you ever have to walk during the tunnel? Let's talk about tunnel real quick because that one took place in June, right? And it's up out just a little bit outside of Seattle.
Yeah. So
now why did you pick that course?
So Tunnel Marathon has this reputation where it's like a fast downhill course. It's like on a trail, which is kind of rocky actually, but it's not like Memorial Park groomed. So it's all downhill. It's a lot of BQs happen there, a lot of PRs. It's in Seattle in June, and in June there's like not a lot of races going on. So that one is pretty popular for
the time. How's the weather?
The weather was perfect. I think the start of the race was like 40 degrees or so. And you know, it's like it's on top of a mountain, so it's going to be even cooler like than like Seattle. And yeah. Seattle in June is like the weather is really nice. Yeah. Nice. So what I recall from that training cycle was that I think I was running like okay, I guess. This was like after I ran Woodlands half marathon, and this was like the first race that I came back from like injury. You know, you could hear like a theme going on with my running career from like 2020 to like 2022.
Some injuries, here and there.
2023, I would like, you know, train really well, and then I would get a stress reaction. And then I would like shut it down, like train really well, stress reaction, and then shut it down. So this happened like three times to me until I kind of figured it out, or at least got better at it. So 2020,
were you just going out too much, like hard every single time, or
I don't know. I think it's a combination of maybe like not getting enough rest, or definitely like maybe like nutrition could have been better,
or maybe I was at Woodlands and. I think you told me that. I think you still threw down like a 1 hour 38.
I ran 1:36.
Yeah. High
at Woodlands half, and this was like, I think the weather was good that day, from what I recall.
Yeah, it was a pretty decent day.
Yeah, and I don't remember what pace I was actually going for, if that was the pace I was going for, but I was like, this is the first one from injury, so. I have no idea what I have. That's
still
day.
Pretty good. 1:36.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was a good race. I thought I executed pretty well based on like what my fitness was. But so I ran that one, and then I think I took like a week off or something, or easy runs that week, and then I started. I went straight into tunnel training, and I think I peaked at like in the 50s. Mileage wise, and I think I did most of the runs, but then this was like when the weather started getting hot, so like the long runs, like some of the marathon paced long run workouts were like not like perfect from what I recall. Like it's like some races, like I just couldn't, you know, finish the, you know, the workout, or like based on the paces that I wanted, it wasn't like the perfect one, but it was okay from what I remember. And then like towards the end of it, I would like started to feel like I think everyone has like a strong leg and a weak leg. I don't know if you do or not, but like the bike's quote unquote strong leg was like kind of bothering me a little bit. No, it was like one of the muscles there.
Yeah.
And then like, yeah, the muscle in the back of the knee, the popliteus. And then I was trying to like, you know, get that better enough to like run that marathon, like the tunnel marathon. And I eventually like showed up to Seattle, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do there. And so I ran.
Did you have a plan going into that, or did you just want to use it as like an indicator to kind of see what you're capable of?
Oh, I had a plan. My plan was to go 3:10 or below. because that was like the BQ time.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, if I had a perfect race, I'm like, I think I could go 310. So I've been chasing like 310 since like Chicago of 2022.
And you, and, I mean, you almost hit it here at,
and I'm still not there, but you know,
we'll get to it. But
yeah, the thing is like tunnel marathon. If I ran let's say I ran 309.59, right? Which is technically a BQ. The buffer for that year, last year, is like over 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
So I would probably not even run. I mean, I wouldn't be able to run Boston. It would just be like a rejection letter. So,
man, if all else fails, just wait till you're 45 and you're going to smash that.
Yeah. Well, I suppose I got to like stay healthy and still able to run like 310. Yeah, so like the joke has been, at least with me, is that I'm just want to like run fast enough this time to get a rejection letter, because I'm like, I don't think I could run 304 or something, but I can, you know, I'm gonna shoot for 310 or 309.59, whatever.
Yeah.
So that was the plan going into Tunnel Marathon.
How was that course overall? I know you said it was like downhill and it's a little rocky, but
yeah, the first mile or two is like where the tunnel is. I think it's like a 2 or 2 mile tunnel.
So the name of the race is totally based on the first 2 miles of this.
Yeah, course. Yeah, yeah. You run through this tunnel. I don't even know what the tunnel used to be for.
I think it was like an old train track.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that sounds about right.
You know, that's my marathon in Wisconsin was an old train track.
Oh, really?
So I'm sure it was like the same type of like terrain.
Yeah, and that was a downhill marathon too, or
It was. I mean, it was like a baby downhill. It was only like, a difference of 200 feet over the course.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't anything like tunnel where it was like, you know, 2,000 and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. Is that how much feet descent it is? I don't.
Yeah, it's like just over 2,000.
A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, that's over the course of like 26 miles. Mine was only over the course of mile 8 to 22.
Oh yeah, that's interesting.
So it wasn't that big of a steep. So it was a downhill, but it really wasn't.
Yeah. That tunnel marathon is kind of like, it's like a trail marathon. I mean, it's as close to a trail marathon as you can get.
Yeah.
While running fast, because a lot of trail marathons aren't fast, because you gotta like, you know, run through like rocks and
gotta
trees
jump up
and
little, yeah, tree roots, yeah. And
there's like 3,000 feet of or 5,000 feet of elevation or whatever it is, so it's like a fast trail marathon.
Yeah,
which is also like a Boston qualifier.
How'd you like the course overall, just because I'm running it in June myself?
So beautiful course, lots of like greenery, you'll see some waterfalls. Beautiful course. The thing is like, you're trying not to
eat it
to trip or like, you know, turn an ankle, because the trail itself is like it's like a mound, I guess. You know how like the ground isn't exactly flat, it's like kind of like high on in the middle of it and then lower on the sides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so like there would be certain like
almost like a car path thing.
That's like less rocky, I guess, than the rest of the road, which is like was like what I was trying to run over. But there's a lot of like rocks there. I ran into Vaporfly 3, by the way. And you know how like in that shoe, there's like a cutout of a carbon fiber, you know, like you can see the carbon fiber.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Cutout
like on
the middle
on the side of it.
Yeah, I ran with a giant rock in one of my feet, like one of my shoes. Like I noticed afterwards, there was like a giant rock in there.
Oh, like on the bottom of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, I know you're talking about the little triangle part.
Yeah, yeah, the triangle part. So you might, if you run in that shoe, you might just like take along with you like a rock. And my friend Joel, he ate it during the race somewhere like early, I think. And I think he like sprained his ankle. But the thing with Joel is that he's so like resilient that he like finished the same time as me.
Oh geez.
so like I think he like stopped for like a couple of minutes and then like he just like kept on trucking along, and then I slowed down for to make sure he's okay, but he told me to like keep going.
Yeah.
at the end, like the final like 0.1 miles when I was trying to like kick it in, I see Joel like kind of like running next to me.
Is that a race you recommend? Would you do it
I would
again?
recommend, I would recommend it. It is a beautiful course.
Yeah.
Yeah, that part of Seattle is, like the Pacific Northwest, I guess, is really pretty. If you aren't trying to PR and not trying to trip, you might be able to appreciate some of it because you won't be just looking down at your feet the whole time, which is what I did. But it's a really nice course. I recommend it. I think people should do it.
I mean, like I said, I'm doing that one in June, and I think I'm gonna enjoy the rest of this month, kind of just take February easy, and then March really kind of get back into it.
What we did afterwards, it was me, Henry, and Joel and Nita. It was like the three dudes, like the three of us. We like left their wives and families and went to go run a marathon, right, in June. We went to Seattle, like Pike's Place, and the touristy parts of Seattle right afterwards. And
The
like
fish market.
there are videos of us like trying to go downstairs because Seattle's not flat, so we're like trying to walk downstairs, and that was like the most painful experience that I've ever had running
How
or
much of a
walking.
quad killer is that tunnel marathon?
It
Because
will destroy your quads. At least it did for me. I don't know. Maybe there are people who are stronger with
I mean, if it
stronger
destroyed your
quads,
quads, then
but it
I got some
was
strength building to
rough.
do.
I don't know. Like, are there downhills around you that you can just hammer your legs on so you can get used to them? I mean, that's
Not really,
what I
not.
would think of to like get better at a downhill marathon.
Maybe I'll just like maybe I'll just put my treadmill on a decline.
I mean, yeah, whatever it is. Like whenever I run on like some of the hills that we have here in the area, like TC Jester Bridge or something, I would try to like hammer the downhill now just to like strengthen my quad. And like I do the thing where if it's like up and a downhill, I go uphill like pretty slowly. Like I keep the effort the same, but then like compared to like other people that I'm running with, I'm going way slower than them. But then I like to like fly down the downhill, and
We need
I
more
think you have
downhills in
to,
Houston.
I think you have to do a lot of that kind of training
But
to
even if
get
you
better at it.
didn't, you could still do fairly well.
You can do fairly well. Just
I mean, you
don't go at too.
smashed, I think you came out with a 320, right?
I ran a 320. I would say pace yourself well because your quads will take a beating, but try to negative split it maybe, or maybe even split it. But don't do what I did, which was go out too fast.
I don't know, man.
But
Part of me is like sometimes like, all right, the faster I go, then I got some time, I got a buffer to slow down. Whereas if I start off slow and I'm trying to like negative split and I don't have it, then I'm like, well, now I'm just slower than what I had anticipated.
I've only negative split one marathon. It was my second marathon in Portland, and I think that was like a 2 or 3 minute negative split or something. But every so I've done six marathons now, and all the other ones have been some sort of positive split.
Yeah, dude, it's so hard. I'm like, I don't know
It is
how.
hard.
I
I
was actually talking
know.
to a pacer at Chevron. I was standing in line for the food, and the guy was the pacer for 3:50, I think, 3:55. And I was like, man, it's so hard to pace. I don't know how you do it. And so I asked him, I was like, so do you even pace it? And he's like, well, we have to even pace it. But he was like, negative split, it's such an easy concept, but it's so hard to execute.
Yeah, I think the problem is that you don't know what your ability is until like on race day. I mean, you kind of have a sense. I mean, I knew I was going to PR at Chevron this year. I just didn't know by how much or by how little. So I kind of had a guess on what I was going to run, which I thought was going to be like 307. I was telling everybody I'm going to run 307 higher, 307 low. Like that's going to be that's my fitness right now. Like I just went around telling people that for like the last 2 or 3 weeks
You got to
before
put it
the
in the universe,
race.
man. You got to put it in the universe.
So I was doing that, and then like that was the pace I went out, and then I held it together until right at the end. But that's what makes marathons challenging, is that you just don't know what's it's like the unknown.
I tell everybody, I'm like, man, you invest so much into like one singular day where anything can go, you need the weather to be right, you need your health to be right, you need injuries to be right. Unfortunately, my health just I just got sick, but
Yeah,
like it's like, oh, come on.
yeah, and the marathon doesn't like it doesn't own you owe you anything. It's like
Yeah.
you could put in all this time and everything can be perfect and you could still have a bad race for whatever reason or another. Like the
Absolutely.
bathroom. Like I was nervous about like having to go to the bathroom or like something like not sitting well in my stomach, that
Yeah.
kind of thing. Or what happened to you, which was like getting sick like a day before the race or the week of the race.
Yeah.
And everything just has to line up correctly. And that's only happened to me twice. And they're both at Houston.
Yeah. You know, I felt like obviously my first Chevron marathon, I'm like, I don't even know what to expect. So I'm like, oh, that's my standard, right? And then last year it was hot. Then my Wisconsin like race, which is it sounds like the trail is very similar to the tunnel. But man, there was like a storm that came through and so just like left the whole course like
Yeah.
just super muddy. And then this one, obviously illness. So I'm like, oh man, God is really making me work for this like perfect marathon, this like this race that I can be like, oh man, I executed everything I wanted to do.
The saying goes, control your controllables.
Yeah.
There's like nothing you can really do about weather.
Yeah.
Obviously, I mean, the best you can do is be as well trained as you can and not go out too fast, which I still haven't figured out how to do that,
Yeah, you know,
but
the thing,
yeah.
like at least you're still able to keep your legs moving. Like
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure that out because I'm like, man, my legs are done. Like I can't even like move anymore. So then I have to
Yeah.
stop and walk or stretch.
Yeah, should we talk about your chevron? And then I could talk about my chevron, or we could
Yeah,
talk
I
about
mean
our chevrons
we can go
together.
hand in hand together, but
Yeah.
well, the
Wait,
weather
so how
was
is Yeah, so how is your morning logistics like? Or maybe I'm assuming that your week before the race is similar to mine, like your last like marathon pace thing was like either the week before or like the Tuesday or Wednesday before with like
yeah, like
maybe
your start of your taper.
light running. Yeah,
Yeah,
you're
well,
the end
it
of your
like you still
taper.
did like 40 something miles like the week before.
The
Like
week
40.
before?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to go around like 60% decline or 40% decline, something like that. I ended
Yeah.
up being like 40 something because my peak was like 65 or something like that. I don't really
Yeah.
remember. And then,
I think I got to like 60 and then I did
yeah.
45, 47 maybe, and then I did 35 the week before.
Yeah, the week before I wanted to move my legs a little bit, but not like, rest too much. Because
Yeah.
I was I think I encountered enough research papers about lowering your mileage like not too drastically the week before because people tend to just get too stale and won't be able to like run to their potential, I think.
Oh,
So
interesting.
instead of like my usual like easy run would be like 6.5 miles, which is like two loops around Memorial Park and back to my house. So instead of 6.5, I was doing 5. And
Okay.
then my workout, I think that was like a total of 13 or 14 miles. And that was like one of the longer runs that week. And then I think I did like a 12 or 11 mile easy run the week before with like no pace. I think there was like an option to do marathon pace stuff, but then I was like, I remember thinking like, I think I'm good. I don't need to prove anything to myself
Yeah.
to like run this pace because I didn't want to like run fast and then like not feel great like of the race because at that point like you're not going to really gain fitness, but I feel like the risk of injury or something horrific happening, I feel like was like because of that it's not worth it.
Yeah, like too much rest is not too much of a good
yeah
thing.
yeah and don't you feel like if you don't have confidence in something, that's like when you start like running faster than like you need to or you should?
Yeah. Oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
that's like a classic saying. I feel like somebody must have said it, like just because you're like don't have the confidence in yourself.
Yeah.
So
Now, did you
I
line
was
up
like,
with
okay, so
the like the 310 group?
I lined up with the 310 group, the 310 pacer.
Yeah.
I didn't the first mile, the gun goes off. It's like it's mayhem, right? Like everyone's like,
It's just crowded
yeah,
mess
we're
at
like
first.
you were we're packed in sardines, like
Yeah.
everyone's like, either running like just going so fast, and I'm like, I don't even know like what pace I'm really going in the beginning first
Yeah, because
mile.
well, yeah, because the buildings are messing up your GPS too.
And I don't know about you, but my first mile, like every run that I do, is usually like ways like a lot slower because my legs aren't just like not warmed up yet.
Yeah.
Because I don't really do much of a warm up for marathons because like I assume that like the first mile is going to be a warm up, so it also like stops me from going out too fast.
Yep.
So maybe I would like I think I jogged to like the corral and like
I
that was
jog to
my
the
warm up.
corrals and then I just
And
hang out there. I'll stretch a little bit in the corrals, but then it just gets so packed that you can't even really, you won't even move and you're like,
I wanted to do like leg swings, but then there were like so many people around
oh.
me anyway. And like I didn't want to like kick somebody by mistake.
Yeah. So, I mean, I take it you were feeling pretty good through those first, let's just say the first 10K, you were feeling pretty good.
So my first 5K, mile one or two, my I had like an AirPod in, like which wasn't secured that well, which came out.
No,
So then I
really.
had to slow down and almost stop to like come like pick it up
Yeah.
and then like go back on pace. So my first mile was like 7:15 or something, which actually is like right on pace, by the way, which was like pretty surprising
Seven
how like
fifteen,
good that
gosh.
was. I actually thought I had no idea what pace I was going, but then I also didn't feel like it was that fast.
Yeah.
For the first 5K, it was kind of a blur, but I just remember like seeing the flag by the fire,
Fire,
the
yeah,
fire
firehouse.
station,
Yep.
the firehouse. And then I remember the tissues that were given out, which I'm sure you took one. And then the crowd support in Washington was pretty good,
I
and
love
like
the crowd support
everyone's yeah.
all the way through like the split. I love it. Like
Yeah.
I was grooving, man. I felt, well, I say grooving, but I was already like breathing through my mouth and I was like, you know, I kind of in
Yeah.
the back of my mind, I'm like, man, it's gonna be a long day just because, you know, when it's cold and you're already like congested, it just makes it that much harder to just clear the sinuses.
Yeah.
And
And
so
then do you also do the thing where you manually lap your watch, or do you do it
no.
automatically? So
Well, so
this
the
is
first like 2 miles or the first like for the first 5 miles, I'm looking at for the mile markers, not so much like when my own watch goes off to see how far behind I am.
I started being more of like a like stickler for like the times, the lap times. And it was kind of fun when I was like running in the 310 group for most of it, because I was just like yelling out paces for the pacer. And the pacer, I knew a little bit, Waisu, he runs with the Harriers, and he's
Yeah.
like, by the way, a beast of a runner. Like he's fast.
Oh my God.
So
Anybody
like
who can pace a 310 or th like I remember Daniel Baron paced 3 hours last year from the B Corral. And I'm like, that would be like all out for me. These guys are going out there, you know, Callie Warner, she's doing like 2, 3 hours. And I mean, that's just like an easy run for her.
Like he would go out, he would do a few miles like at like seven flat. Let me look. He went down to like 7:03, because I've ran with him for most of it. Like up and over. There's two pacers. There's like one in the front, which was him and me, and there's another pacer that was trailing us, like kind of like further back. And then we're
Yeah.
like in the faster 310 group. And then the whole time I was feeling pretty good actually. Even like up to like 10K, which was like what was that, like Kirby, I guess.
Yeah, Freddie Kirby.
We're running down Kirby. There was like good crowd support there. I felt good there. I think I was like 22 minutes and like 22 flat or something like that. My first 5K was like 22:22 or something, and then the second was like 22:20. So it was like fairly even paced, for the first 10K.
I
And
think
then like
I was doing pretty good. And then I looked down at my watch and just because I'm like breathing through my mouth, I looked down at my watch. I'm seeing my heart rate at like at a 182. I'm like, ah, oh, it's gonna be a long day at the office.
You know
Like,
what though?
there's no way I can sustain this, like, without lactate just building up.
You know what though? Like, how did you feel though? Like, did you feel like your heart was racing it? Because I've
No.
definitely done the thing where my watch would tell me, you know, my heart rate's going at like 170, which like, you know, could feel like, you know, like objectively it would be like threshold for a lot of people. But then like if you feel good, I mean, is it really like, does it really matter? I mean, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
I mean, I don't know. I just feel like if I'm hit in that higher zone, then I'm like building up lactic acid. I'm not, I'm building up lactic acid faster than I can flush it out. So mentally, I don't know if maybe it was a mind screw, but I'm like, oh
Maybe.
geez, like I'm already at 182 and this is only like mile seven.
Have you thought about not looking at heart rate when you run races?
This
And
was the
just
first year that it This is the first year that I did. I didn't really pay too much attention to it, like for Chevron last year. But when I went back and looked at my numbers, I was like, "Well, geez, that's why." Maybe that's why I burnt out at the end because I was just my heart rate is pumping and sucking in way more oxygen than I need to be. But this year was the first time I actually like really paid attention to it because I was like, I went in there with the plan of I'm going to be aerobic as much as possible for the first like half. Aerobic being like 160 and under, right? 165 max.
But then, I mean, the problem that I see is that like you don't really know what your true max heart rate
No,
is and like the zones that you have. I mean, you could do
I
a
don't even know
test, I
if like my
guess.
zones are even right, like I feel like Garmin just like comes up with whatever algorithm that they have and
And also some watches are like the heart rates aren't super accurate anyway if you're like
yeah.
going at a certain pace or whatever or effort. So yeah, I don't know. Like even my watch probably told me that my heart rate was going at like the 170s early.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't think I was going at 170s, but then again, I don't really train by heart rate. So
Yeah.
I don't really know. But one thing I do remember, like going back to the race, I just remember distinctly, mile, was it like around 8 or 7? Like around Fleet Feet? Was there like an inflatable tube guy, like a guy dressed in an inflatable tube guy
Your guess is
that
as
like
good as mine.
I high fived?
Oh really? No. I think I was riding the middle of the line during that stretch, and because right when it split, I was pretty much on the inside trying to like tangent the sucker out,
I was just like going around saying hi, you know, like waving to people or like, you know, saying like hi to people that I know. Especially like early, like before 20 miles. So then there was like a lot of people, like a couple of people that I saw. I gave high fives to people. Like it was a lot of fun.
I think it was right
Even
at
though I was
11 when I felt that I was like, yeah, I'm not gonna be able to like sustain what I'm doing. And so like the people that I had people that I was running with, and I was like, look, I'm just gonna keep going until I can't. But at some point, I knew I was gonna have to like pull back, not so much like stop and just like completely stop. But I was like, I just gotta pull back because I gotta catch my, I'm like trying to breathe. And like I don't know, when you have to do everything through your mouth, I mean, you're just like so limited on, you just feel like, ah, oh, jeez, I need to breathe, I need to swallow, I need to drink all out of the same, like
Was that like right after like the med center, I guess, that you
yeah,
started
it was right
feeling that
before
way?
you
Like you
whatever
take that
street
right
that
on
is, like Chimney Rock maybe, right?
Universe. Was it a Universe? Oh, it was all way down there. So like was it so it was before West Park though.
Before West Park. And I, in my head, I'm just like, I'm not saying that I can't, but I'm just like, in my head, I'm like, ooh, it's gonna be a little bit tougher, going forward. Cause I go over West Park and I'm still feeling pretty good. And then we're on 610. And then that's when I tell the people that I'm running with, I'm like, look, I'm gonna go as long as I can. And I mean, they were super encouraging. They're just like, just go until the wheels fall off. And I think I got all the way to like 16 and a half, maybe 17. And I was like, I got to pull back. I just can't breathe.
You were running with a pace group? Was it the
No, I was running with
325
like
group?
people from my running club.
Okay.
So we had like a
And then
set plan of going at like 8:10 for the first 3 miles and then like 8 minutes max for like the next seven. And then, hover around 7:50 for the rest of the way.
okay. What is a 750 marathon or 755 marathon gate? Was that like a
7:49
330?
will get you a 325.
Oh, 325. Okay.
8 minutes flat will get you 330.
330. Okay. Got
So
it.
I think the
So,
way we had planned it was going to be like a 327.
okay. What's hard is that when you run with somebody, unless they're like your pacer, and you're trying to like all get the same time, like I think people feel good and bad at different parts of the race.
Yeah.
Like early, I
Oh,
felt
I hear what you're
like,
saying. Yeah.
I feel like early on, I probably felt like my legs weren't like warm enough, so that like I felt like my turnover wasn't that good. So then I was like maybe struggling a little bit, but then once I hit like mile like 10 to like 20, I felt like that was when I actually like hit like a good groove in
Yeah.
there. Like all the miles going up the Galleria and up to the 610 feeder road and even like up University. I think there was like a north wind coming. So a lot of those miles I remember they were like into the wind.
Yep.
But then my actual pace I think was like pretty good. And
Were
I was
you with
like
the other Harriers, like your friends, or were you just kind of doing your own, like?
there was a lot of people in the 310 group that I didn't know, but then there was Kelly
Yeah.
was trying to get a 310, and Rebecca Garza, I think her last name is.
Yeah.
She was also running 310 as well.
Okay.
So like I but then I didn't really run with them per se. Like I would see them in the group, and then like either like one of them was feeling better than me than the other, and they'd be like surge ahead a little bit, and I'd be like a little bit behind, or
Then
I
vice
would be
versa.
like up front, yeah, and they
Yeah.
would be like a little behind. So I don't think we were really running like right next to each other that much.
Yeah.
So 610 feeder road and like Galleria, I just remember it was just like a big like a somewhat of a gust of wind. It wasn't that bad, and maybe that was like when like your first feeling of like this is a lot harder earlier than it should be, like
Yeah.
something like would you say that's true?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely wasn't expecting, if anything, I was expecting to feel like some sort of pain, like a hint of something like maybe 21, 22. I definitely wasn't expecting it to feel as early as I did. And I mean, I really just equate that to like not feeling so well. Even like my energy really wasn't like probably where I wanted it to be, just because I felt like my body was too busy trying to fight something else off.
Do you ever read a book, Endure by Alex Hutchinson, by the way? Great book.
Endure.
I highly recommend it if you're into endurance sports, which you obviously are.
Yeah.
But he had like this anecdote that he was running like a mi he was like a miler, I guess, back in the day, like on the track. And then he was like running this mile, and then it was like another language, like in another country. And then it wasn't like the English wasn't their like first language, I guess. So then they
Yeah.
were just like yelling out splits. And then he thought he was running faster than he actually was. And that made him feel really good and like really strong. And then like he like finishes the race, and then he finds out, after the race that his time was actually this. But it was like still a giant PR, but it wasn't
Yeah.
exactly like what he was
As
like thought he
yeah.
was running. And then like he says that based on anywhere that you are on the race, like how you feel based on like how far you are in that race is like your expectations of like how you feel is like what can like cause your race to be like what it is. Meaning that like if you are like early on in the race and you feel horrible, then that's just gonna
Keep
obviously
building up
destroy
on
you.
you. Yeah.
Destroy you. Whereas like if the mile markers are like kind of like screwed up, I guess, or maybe like the timing thing is off and you think you're running like 7 minute miles, but then you're running like 7:15s, and then
If you think you're feeling good, then
if you think you're feeling good,
it's like
then
outlook,
like
right? Like your picture
yeah
outlook.
the mind yeah the the mentality of it is
Oh,
kind of
interesting.
interesting.
Yeah. Well,
So like
after Galleria, how'd you feel coming out on to Memorial right at 17?
17 was okay. 18 was okay too. I didn't feel that bad until like mile 22, I want to say. I think like the first place where I really started like feeling like my legs just didn't want to move anymore was like, like right before you make that right, you make a right and then a left onto Memorial, sorry, onto Allen Parkway. So that like
Yeah, right there
stretch,
on
like
Shepherd. Is that Shepherd?
that stretch right over there on Memorial Drive was hard. Like
Yeah.
you go up a little bit and then you
Yep.
go
Make
right
a
and left.
right,
Or,
then a left.
that was like the first place where I was like, my legs might not, I don't know if I have the legs anymore to like stay on this pace. And the last 5K is like when you should be like, gunning it.
Yeah.
Well, at least like that was my plan. My plan was initially like, I'll stick with the group until mile 18, and then you make like the right onto the Memorial Drive, and then you like you make your move there. You start accelerating, and then I couldn't accelerate at like mile 18.
Yeah, you're
I
like,
it
man, I'm
was
stepping on
like
this pedal and it's
I
not
was
going
like
anywhere.
staying still, and I was like talking to the group, which really meant I was talking to myself.
Yep.
I was saying things like, "It's supposed to be hard, relax your shoulders. You can make a move soon, that kind of." I was saying that out loud,
Yeah.
but I was actually telling that to myself. I don't know if anyone was really listening,
Know, I think
because
everyone starts saying stuff to themselves like
yeah,
at that point.
I bet, like, I mean, I'm sure everybody else is feeling, some degree of, pain at that point.
We were talking beforehand, 22 is like that weird zone where you're like after the tunnels and then before you get on Allen Parkway, and it's just like it's a busy, like cheerful section, but it's just a weird section, right? Because it's just like you're close to home, but you're still 4 miles away. And you finally turn onto Allen Parkway and you're like, all right, I see downtown. It's like just slowly gets closer. But I will say this is the first year, maybe because I had to slow down, but this was the first year that Allen Parkway did not feel daunting to me. And so
That's good.
I
Your
mean, I was
training
definitely
was
like
good.
tired and my legs were tired, but it didn't feel like as challenging as it was like in years past.
I think it's because you are better trained than, because your legs were probably feeling fine. It was just that like your lungs and your like sinuses and heart maybe weren't feeling so great. Like I was the opposite. Like I wasn't breathing that hard, but just my legs just didn't have it anymore. I saw my wife at mile 22, I want to say, and then she was like just screaming at me like, "Let's go."
Move your legs.
She was like, "I'm on Instagram Live. We want to say something." And then like you could see,
Yeah,
like I was like, "I'm just dead." I'm just like, "Oh," just like grunting as I'm going along. I'm trekking along there, and like the whole time I was like thinking to myself, like, "Oh," like I think at that point I actually was like, "Oh," I mean, I know there's 4 miles left, but I'm like, this is such a long 4 miles.
such a
Like,
long 4 miles.
I've done so many 4 mile runs, at marathon pace, but then like at that point of a marathon, it just feels so much longer than actually 4 miles.
Oh yeah, like I'll tell myself, I'm like, oh, there's a 5K left. I do 5 miles, like easy. Five miles, it's like 30 minutes of my day. Come on, we got this. And then it's like the longest 5K ever.
And I was like
How'd you feel
telling
going
my
down that last stretch, turning down, obviously when you turn downtown and you're on that long stretch. I mean, I say long stretch, but it's only like maybe a mile at most. How'd you feel going down that last stretch?
I
Is it
was
that's where you get like the energy to kick it up a little bit?
yeah, I'll tell you exactly what happened. So, you know how like you take a right off of Allen Parkway into some street and then you take a left and then you take a right or something? Right when I took that last right and you go into that long straightaway, that was when I felt the hamstring cramp. And I was like, "No, this is like right at the end." I'm like, "Not now." And then I was like trying to like kick the cadence up, which is kind of funny that I say think about it, because I looked at the stats afterwards and my cadence was definitely the lowest then, even though mentally I was thinking like you should keep your cadence up.
I was like, all right, I'm gonna I'm gonna go 7:45 down this whole thing.
Yeah.
And then like maybe like a quarter mile in, and like I don't know, maybe like 2 minutes in, I just feel my right quad being like, no, we're not gonna do that.
Yeah.
But I was like, all right, just hold whatever pace I got all the way till the end. Like, I'm not stopping.
Yeah. My last mile was like 7:30 something. Which was like that's like just me just hanging on to dear life.
And then
when I was at mile 26, I manually lapped my watch, and it said like I was at like 3 hours, 8 minutes and like 50 seconds or something like that. So I was like, okay, if I could throw down a 70, 400 meters, I'll get it. And then I'm like, in my head, I'm like, I've done like 70 seconds before on the track. Like, granted, I was going all out. I could do it this time.
So oh my God. You don't realize how long a quarter mile is until you see that marker at 26 and you're like, where is this finish line?
Yeah. I guess 2.2 miles isn't really a quarter mile, but it's
still close enough.
Yeah. So then I'm like trying to give it all I can for like the last 0.2 miles. And I did like 90 seconds or like maybe like 88 seconds or something, which makes 3:10:18.
Yeah.
And like I remember like stopping the watch a little bit after I cross, and I look down, it's like 3:10:18, and I'm like, man, I hope I like stopped it kind of late. You know,
3:10 though, man, that's a huge then, even from like, you know, tunnel that you just did back in June.
Yeah, but you know what's the worst thing about finishing like right there is that like you start like that slow death march into George R. R. Brown Convention Center.
Yeah.
And then like people aren't really moving, and then I'm just like, I just like thinking like I need to get out of my race shoes. And then it was weird like at the time, because I was like, man, I was trying to go under 3:10, and then I was like, I was so close. Obviously I was like 18 seconds off.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know. At the time, I didn't know how to feel. Maybe I didn't really celebrate it too much. I mean, it was a huge PR, obviously. But then,
how do you feel 72 hours after?
I feel good about it now. Obviously, like nothing would have changed really, like in terms of like running Boston. I thought of it as like I just felt like hungry after the race, in terms of like, you know, I want to get better.
Yeah.
And I wonder if I went under a little bit, like if I would feel the same way, like if I felt 3:09, let's say that I run 3:09:59 or something. Like,
yeah.
Would I feel the same way? I don't know. I mean, I didn't do it yet, so I don't know how I feel about it, but I felt like I had some unfinished business to do.
It's good, man.
And yeah, I mean, it motivated me to sign up for next year's race.
Oh yeah, I'm already signed up too. Like, I signed up that night,
and then I was like, you know, telling people, I'm like, you know, the people that ran 3:10, a couple of them, I was like, we're gonna go sub-3 next year. Like, let's do it, let's sign up, you know. It's like,
yeah, the people that I run with, I mean, even though like I didn't hit it with them, I'm hoping that, you know, I hit it at tunnel, so then for Chevron next year we can try to shoot for like 3:20.
Yeah. I mean, what? you're getting there. You're consistent. I mean, you had a bad race because you were sick, which, you know, sucked, but you had a great training. And I always think the marathon is like, you know, it's the icing on top, you know, the cherry on top.
For sure.
And like, you're spending like months and months to like become a better runner. And then, you know, just one day it doesn't make you who you are.
Yeah,
or maybe it does. Like, I could say I'm 3:10 marathoner now, but
yeah, no, because I'm like it definitely makes you who you are, because you're just like,
yeah,
so
yeah.
That you but can it, perform, it, you're like, then, oh man, come on, I spent so much time doing this. But
yeah,
I mean, I've had like a really good training season. I've had these little like small little celebrations with these smaller races where I get to, you know, feel good about, but man, I really wanted to do well at this one, and just wasn't in the cards. But you know, that's why I'm no longer just going to do one marathon a year. I'm going to do at least like two.
I do like two I don't think I've done three yet, but I've done two marathons in a year, and I think that's like the perfect amount to like PR at both of them, or like have good training cycles for both of them,
Yeah,
because
you just get to
like
fully
you have to
recover.
recover. Yeah, you have to fully recover and then like build it back up, and there's like a element of like burnout, I always feel like.
What's the next race you have coming up here?
I'm gonna take a break, and then I'm gonna train a little bit for TIR, which I don't actually feel like it's like a race per se. It's more
No,
like
yeah.
hanging out.
Yeah. What team, I'm gonna be out there too. What team are you gonna be on?
I work with Team Bypass, which is a collection of nurses, doctors, and
Oh, nice.
people that work in the operating room with me.
Yeah. I'll be running
And
with a group called Champions Running Association.
yeah, I've definitely seen Karen, like last year, was it?
Yep.
Maybe it was last year I saw her. I saw her like out, and that's always fun, like seeing people that I know
I
doing the
absolutely
same
had a
thing.
blast on that race, on that event. Like, I
Yeah.
super enjoyed it. My wife was like, it was all right. I'm like, man, I had a blast.
The thing that I don't love about it is sleeping in a van,
Yeah.
but other than that, I think it's a good time.
I
I
mean,
mean, I
are all the people you're running with like pretty like fast? I mean, we all pr done pretty
we
early.
have we have one guy who is like a two, I think his PR for a marathon is like 240 something,
Jeez.
or like low, like it's in the low 240s, 44 or something.
Yeah.
And then you have people who have not run a marathon and are not really runners. So then we kind of have like a spectrum.
Yeah. It's so funny because, you know, the first day it's like kill, 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 kill. You know, you get the little
Yeah.
kills. And then in the night hours, it's like you're the one being killed by all these like fast teams that are just like zooming by you.
Yeah.
Like
No,
I
I
remember
remember.
one of my legs was like at 3 o'clock in the morning, and this guy goes flying by me, and I was like, that guy's gotta be doing like sub 6 minute like miles.
Yeah, last year my last leg was not fast. I was like, my legs were dead, and I was like just trying to barely hang on, because I
Yeah.
think I like used too much of my endurance for like leg two, which I was like kill, 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 like getting all these kills, and then the last one I was like I just couldn't run, like my legs are just so tired.
What do you remember what legs you had?
I had,
Were you like in the
yeah.
first van or the second van?
I was in both. I was in both. My captain kind of had me like go back and forth, because
No.
she wanted to make it so like everyone hung out, which ended up
Oh, that's
not
cool.
exactly being that way. But what ended up happening was like I ran like two legs really close to each other, so I didn't feel that recovered on the last one, and then I was like just trying to like run as hard as I can, but then I was like feeling like I can't move.
Yeah.
So no, that was hard. Yeah, so that's the next one, and then
And then you
June
got
is gonna be
grandma's.
Grandma's marathon.
What's, I mean, it's always going to be sub 310.
Yeah, hopefully like 305 if I'm well trained for that. But that race is like sneaky rolling hills, so
Oh, is it really?
it's a little slower than Houston, obviously. I mean, I think Houston's like one of the fastest marathons in the
Yeah.
country. That's not downhill.
Yeah. You
So
know,
yeah.
my Wisconsin marathon in October is only like an hour east of Duluth, where grandma's
Okay.
is. Yeah, because
Yeah.
I actually had to pass through Duluth to get to like the area in Wisconsin that I was having my race at.
Yeah. Yeah. Grandma's has gotten kind of popular. I think like a lot of people that are trying to like qualify for Boston or run fast go to that marathon,
Yeah.
which is kind of interesting because Duluth is not like a big town at all.
No.
So I think the hotels, you get
Book
booked
up
pretty
super
quickly.
quick. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
Yeah. At
when you told me
least
about that, I
Seattle
actually looked
is.
it up, and like, yeah, everyone was like, if you don't have your hotels booked up, then just plan on staying outside of Duluth and driving up the morning of.
Yeah, I think it's sold out already, or it might be almost sold out. I think their half sells out really fast, by the way. Like I think they sold out in like a couple of days, actually. That was like it was insane.
How is the hotel situation for Tunnel?
I think it's fine. There's like a one hotel that a lot of people stay at because it's like there's like a room rate for it.
Okay.
You have to like from there you have to go to like a parking lot, which is like at the finish line, and then take a shuttle up to
The
the
start
start.
line.
Actually, no, they changed it. So it used to be like that. The year I did it, everyone parked at the start line, which is like a good 45-minute drive, by the way, from the finish line. And then you run down and then you take the shuttle back to the start line after you
Oh,
like
geez.
celebrate and stuff, which I think is better because you don't have to wake up as early to like catch a shuttle to go to the start line.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
Can
but
you park your car at the start line? Can you have someone drop you off?
you can park. Yeah, there's like three parking lots that are pretty big in size.
Okay.
By the start line.
Yeah.
The
Oh,
thing with,
you have to park at the start line. Yeah.
yeah, also, if you're like a person that thrives on like crowd noise and crowd energy, like there isn't a lot of that at tunnels, just to warning you,
Yeah, no,
because
I don't pretty, I
you
don't
might
thrive
be
on
in
it.
your own head a little bit too much. Whereas
Yeah.
I think, I mean, like other marathons is like in a city, so there'll be some people cheering.
I actually felt like I did way better at my Wisconsin because there just wasn't anybody on the course. I just got to be like one with myself. Yeah.
I mean, the expectation, did you have a lot of expectations going into that one?
I did until like, well, no, I did. I mean, I still wanted to shoot for like a 325. It's just the trail was so muddy that, sometimes your foot was just like slipping and then I think I just went out way too hot. So I, like I said, I think I gave myself too much credit for how fast I really am. I don't think I'm there yet in terms of like, I think I got like pretty good speed for like up to a half marathon, but just to be able to hold that over the course of 26 miles, I'm still trying to figure out what that right speed is without, burning out at the end.
I mean, I think I'll get there one day. Like you don't, I mean, it took me 4 years to go from 325 through 310. So,
Yeah.
I mean, granted, I had a lot of like, potholes here and there, but,
Yeah.
and like the global pandemic probably didn't help.
But
But,
before we kind of wrap this up here, because I've had you on for it's also a school night. Give your run club a shout out here, because you're definitely part of what I call like the local elites run club.
So I run with the Houston Harriers, who I believe are like not just a fast club, quote unquote, but sure, there are a lot of people that are, a lot faster than me, but there are certainly people who, have other paces. And the long runs have been getting pretty large in all different paces. And we run in, inside the loop. We start our long runs at Memorial Park on Saturday mornings at 6 a.m. And there's water stops all along whatever route we're doing. And it's really helpful in the summer, obviously, because it's hot and you want to stay hydrated.
Yeah, I've had a few
Super, super
Harriers
helpful.
on the podcast, and man, they're just super cool. I mean, I was running this, I was running Chevron, and sure enough, like I don't even know if Chris was following my progress, but he saw me. Chris Gonzalez saw me on the course, and I mean, he was like, he saw me from, I don't know if like a distance, but he was like, "Come on, run, Joseph, like you're getting closer." And I was like, "Oh shoot, man, thanks. I appreciate that." Like they're just cool, like group of people, and I'll pick some of their brains here and there, and just kind of get some free knowledge whenever I can.
The pasta dinner this year, we had a lot of like Olympians. Guest speaking.
Oh, really?
One of them came in second at the half marathon this year,
Oh, geez.
Helen O'Beery
Yeah.
and Edna Kiptokat. I don't know if I'm
I think
pronouncing
I
her name right.
saw
She
Daniel
was
Barron, like
there
take a
too.
picture with her.
Like they were there. Stephanie Twell is another elite. She was there too. and Lenny Waite, I think her last name is.
Oh, yeah, anyway,
Like
yeah.
she was like a sports, yeah, she's a sports psychiatrist and kind of told us the mental side of things. And
Yeah. I've had her on. She was like one of my, I think she was like, I had her on an episode of like in somewhere in the teens, like 14, 15.
Yeah, so if I had any success, maybe it was like I got like maybe a small part of their like energy
Yeah.
to get me through the race.
That's
But
awesome, man.
yeah, no. Yeah, it's a cool club. Definitely check it out
If I
if
didn't
you're in the
live so
area.
far, I would definitely join y'all for a couple of runs. I'm out in the boonies now, up in North Houston. But
Yeah, I mean, I think like finding people that have like the same passion and energy, who want to like wake up early to go for runs with you, I think that's like so invaluable. And certainly,
absolutely.
like I do most of my runs alone, but the runs that I do with people, I feel like are a lot easier to do.
Yeah. I agree. Well, hey
Yeah,
man,
but
if people wanted to follow like your journey and stuff, where could they follow you at? Are you public on social media?
I'm not public on Instagram,
Yeah.
but my Instagram handle is JINWJUNG. But you could follow me on Strava, which is
Gotcha.
public.
Yeah. Follow my man because he's super inspiring. Probably one of the coolest guys. Like I said, we've only met in person maybe three, four times. And I mean, he's probably one of my biggest like cheerleaders on social media, just with my own running and obviously with the podcast. I definitely appreciate all that.
Yeah, and again, I think you're gonna get there.
I appreciate that, man.
You and I are the same, so you're gonna get there.
I hope so, man, because you're smashing it. You're just killing it right now. And I think once I figure out, like, once I unlock the code of, I feel like there's this big mystery with the marathon that I haven't like uncovered yet, and I'm trying to figure out how to get from point 0 to point 26.2 without, hitting the walls, getting there, like feeling pretty good for the most part, not, fighting that urge to like walk, not getting sick, and then just having like things follow like, in place.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I've dealt with I don't want to use the word failure, but I mean it is what it is, failure a lot of times in my life, not only in running but also professionally. And it's like I've read this one analogy that's really good. It's like weightlifting. If you've ever done weightlifting, you know that like the whole point of like getting better at weightlifting is like to lift weights up until failure.
Yeah.
And that's like the way that you grow. And it might not feel great right now, but that's the only way you can get better. When you get
Absolutely.
uncomfortable, that's the only way you can get better. I mean, I tell my trainees all the time in the hospital, like if you do something that's like easy, you're not going to really learn anything. When you do
Yeah.
something hard, you'll learn something.
That is 100% true. Well, hey man, thanks for joining me on a weekday night to kind of retalk, just kind of catch up and touch a little bit on like Chevron, but just kind of talk about our each other's like run journeys, especially over the last year. I'm sure we're gonna definitely still keep in touch, and I'll be following you for grandma's, and I'm sure you'll be following me for Tunnel Up. They'll definitely be picking your brain.
Yeah, listen to that. I want this to be like a yearly thing where we both can talk about our Chevron marathons.
Let's do it.
Hopefully we can stay healthy enough to run them.
Yeah, and
But
hopefully like times just keep improving.
yeah, I need you to like keep on at least doing the race recaps, even if I'm not here doing
Yeah.
them, making you do them.
You know what? I might start doing them. I just, the way you kind of, I can't remember if we were already recording then, but the way you kind of put it in perspective, I could see myself maybe putting it out there and doing that.
Yeah, because you never know who's listening. It can be, someone who's trying to figure out the logistics of things, and
For sure. For
you would
sure.
be helping them out. I mean, that's the way
Yeah.
I see it, at least.
No, definitely. Well, hey, Jane, man, I definitely appreciate you joining me today. I'll definitely be keeping in touch with you and following what else you got going on later this year for, and I'll see you at TIR.
Yeah. Yeah. Good luck recovering and see you out there. Okay.
Likewise.